The 135 when I was a student here shows you my age maybe, and coming out of class and seeing, you know, big snowfall and being stranded up in the mountain, it's not fun, and it happened often. And so the SFU student community, staff up here, and also the growing city of university needs reliable, efficient public transportation, and the gondola seems to meet those needs. So the city of Burnaby, myself and my council colleagues have endorsed the gondola project years ago, actually. And so right now the last hurdle is just getting that funding. And, you know, myself and my colleagues will continue to advocate for better or more funding in transit, but particularly the gondola project, so it gets past that final hurdle and gets built.
Lastly, we spoke with Arden English, a third-year SFU student, as well as a member of Movement YVR, who gave some background on why he believes the gondola project has taken as long as it has.
Right now, when you ask TransLink about the Burnaby Mountain Gondola, they'll come out with the answer saying that they're waiting to finish the business case. And now, this isn't the first business case that's been done for this project. There was one, I believe, back in 2011 that was completed for the project, back when the estimated cost was $120 million that we could have jumped on and built, 15 years ago. But now we have to redo the project because the cost of, or the business case, because the costs have changed. And while we don't know the current outcome of that business case, we need to make sure that the work that is going on behind the scenes is being done with the experts that have the in-house expertise from cities like Mexico City, Toulouse, France, that build 3S urban gondolas like this to inform this business case. Because without that level of in-house expertise, it's really just a bunch of consultants coming around that don't properly know what they're doing and might cost this way more than is reasonable.
And yeah, what can students who want to advocate for this project, what can they do, or what do you suggest they do?
The first thing by far is be informed. And I think if you're listening to this, it's a great step in the right direction. But the main course of action is to reach out to your MLA and your MP. MLA is your provincial representative. Your MP is your federal representative. Where you live, you're riding, you can very easily look up on the internet. Say you live in Burnaby Heights. You look up Burnaby Heights MLA, it'll show you the name of your riding, that location, and it'll give you the email address to reach out to. And simply write a simple email. Say you're a student at SFU or a resident of Burnaby, or both. If you're a proper resident here, that holds a lot more weight because those are your local representatives. But tell them that this is a problem that needs solving. It's very common for the electeds to get caught up in all the different issues that are happening around the province and around the country, that what is a much smaller scale project like this can kind of fly under the radar. And it's just about making sure that they're always thinking about it in the back of their mind.
This has been Danny Nesvararani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca. Once again, that was my piece on the SFU gondola rally that happened last week. How do you feel about the gondola? Do you love it? Do you want it to be built? Do you not want it to be built for whatever reason? Let us know. 778-782-2573. That's 778-782-2573. Coming up next, we have a track from local band by the name of Whack. This one's titled One More Design.
is CICK News. On Saturday night at the Smithers Legion, community members gathered to celebrate the Bulkley Valley's watersheds through music and conversation. The event was hosted by What Matters in Our Valley, a grassroots group founded in 2017 to protect local rivers, wildlife, and quality of life in the valley. Local performers including Teresa Michelle, Bill Crossan, Edward Quinlan, The Chesterfields, and Reckless Mountain played songs dedicated to the valley, while speakers such as Tom Roper and Len Vanderstar shared updates on the Telqua Coal Project, now owned by Bathurst Resources Limited. The event raised over $1,000 to support research and expert analysis, highlighting strong local engagement around the future of the valley.
Make a switch there. Teresa is right behind me, and she's going to give us some of her personal music, and this girl is very talented. Teresa from Telqua.
I've lived on the Telqua River since 2006. I'm Tsuut'ina traditional territory, and it's really an incredibly important part of my life. So many changes over the 20 years in Telqua, and every year the river changes too. It's just amazing. So beautiful.
So we're just setting a little bit with the music. I've got a statement I just wanted to pass on to you. When we were talking with the people from Telqua Coal, it was actually quite interesting. One of the guys came down and was speaking with one of the ladies in Telqua Averlyn coal mine road area. And he came, knocked on her door, and was trying to get information about what they were doing. And he said to her, "Please don't worry about your water." He said, "If we cause any problem, we'll provide you with bottled water for the rest of your life." And I found that just so profound. I couldn't get over that. And obviously, he didn't live in Telqua or Smithers, because he wouldn't worry about that.
Hey, thanks for having me here. Yeah, this is an important cause. I don't feel like I need to talk too much on it. We've got some really great speakers talking about what's going on here. Thought about doing some songs about coal and that sort of thing, but never quite got around to it. But I thought I'd do some love songs for you, because that's kind of why we're here, is love for the valley and yeah, this place that we live. I had a request for a song. I don't really do requests unless I wrote them, so that doesn't happen very often. The song's about my cat Punky. It's a love song.
Yeah, I like this song.
What information do you want people to know about Telqua Coal and about tonight as well, and why does this outreach matter?
Well, I think this getting the public out and becoming more involved is exactly what we need. We need this everybody, you know, regardless of how they feel about it, to become more aware of what's going on. It's going to be a huge mine that they propose, and it's 7 kilometers from Telqua, and it's fractured and faulted land, and you can't keep it covered, and the risks are just way too great. It's a really dirty, high sulfur coal that they're going to wash with our clean water and put it right in the Telqua. So it's and it's a very volatile market, and the coal is plentiful. Coal, there's more coal than any other fossil fuel in the world. Why are they want to destroy a beautiful place for something we shouldn't be burning in the first place anymore? You know, the markets have fallen. They've changed hands 8 times. They've gone bankrupt. Those are all things we need to keep in mind. They're not being truthful in talking to people about the risks and about the closeness, 7 kilometers. And the open pit will be as steep as a 30 to 40 story building upside down in the ground, you know? It's like lots of blasting, lots of fractured and faulted
acid-generating rock. Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense. It's just people that want to make money and destroy this place. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what I want people to know, is that, I would always talk to you. People think about the jobs, but who's going to take care of it in perpetuity when the company folds in 3 years? Or,
I mean, in the beginning, you always try to be thoughtful and not say, come out opposed, because you want to be really thoughtfully study everything.
Yeah.
The reports are really long, and we get people to read them, and we review them, and we get experts to look at them, and they give us their opinion. So hopefully at the forum, the community forum, people can ask questions. But then we want everybody to get involved in writing letters and letting people know how they feel. I want people to think about what they value and get involved. Speak to their neighbors, speak to their friends. And there's only one Wet'suwet'en in that place, right? And there's only one Missisquoi Valley, and that's where we are. And coal is plentiful. There's lots of it. And we're not supposed to burn it. So, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, ma'am.
Gail Lunn.
Okay. So what's your involvement with What Matters in Our Valley?
I became aware of the group and the issue shortly after we moved here a few years ago. And as residents who have a river level well, this was something that we were concerned about, we were curious about, we wanted to learn about the impacts of the proposed program. And what we've heard to date hasn't really put our minds at ease necessarily. And we are very concerned, not just for ourselves, obviously, but for the environment that sustains the wildlife, the fish. And many people will ask folks in this organization, are you anti-industry? And I think all of us would say, we understand industry is a fact of life. The problem we have is where it's situated. That is the big problem. And we've not been convinced yet that this is a project that's going to go any other way than any other project has before it.
A lot of people hear about this and they don't do anything after, but you did.
I feel like what exists here, and there's an energy in this space that most people would say that they understand and feel. And living here, I feel a responsibility to protect it and really cherish it.
And also, too, Silent Auction is almost done. You've raised over $1,000.
Yes, that's correct. We're thrilled.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Jay Gilden. I'm part of What Matters in Our Valley, and I've been working on the Telco Coal Project issues since 2017 when it started. Yep. We're about to enter what's called the final assessment period for the mine, which is done by the Environmental Assessment Office. And during that period, which is 150 days long, there will be a public comment period, and we want to inform people what the issues are so people know what they're facing if there's an open pit coal mine 7 kilometers from Telco and 4 kilometers from the Telco River.
When's the open forum or the open public?
Well, it'll depend on when the final assessment period begins, which is something of a fluid date.
For people who weren't here tonight, what do they need to know about What Matters in Our Valley?
Well, we've been designated as what's called the Community Advisory Committee by the Environmental Assessment Office, and our responsibility is to try to communicate what the issues are that the community see arising from having this coal mine in the community where we've never had them before, and at least not an open pit one, not on this industrial scale.
Working with the Environmental Assessment Office, the Community Advisor, how much responsibility do you feel from it?
Well, they gave us what they said was 30 days to respond to the latest information request responses. So they're kind of giving us a very difficult task. They're telling us, they're keeping us up to date with the process. And to the extent that we then reach out to the public, that's on our own. That's not really what they expect us to do.
Okay, and how do you think tonight went? For outreach and just kind of, I guess, just feeling and vibe altogether, how do you feel it went?
Oh, I thought it was great. You know, we had a lot of people here, and it seemed like there was a lot of spirit, and people were very interested when we were, you know, telling them what was going on and not just in the music.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Oh, hello. I'm Len Vanderstar. I'm a habitat protection biologist here in the Valley since 1989. Mm-hmm.
So, Len, when you're speaking about the effects of industry on caribou, and not only that, but also kind of human interaction on lands that otherwise natural wildlife should be able to exist on, how do you find that you kind of strike that balance when you're at an event like this to be informative, but to still engage people as well?
Well, the key is try to keep the science down and then reach for their heart, right? Because people are connected to the land, and it's when you're connected to the land that you become a defender of the land. So you just have to reach out to their passions and why they're here and why they have this lifestyle they have. We have existing economies here. And, you know, like, for example, here in the Northwest, it's clearly that we're a salmon nation, a salmon culture, and a salmon economy. So we already have that. So if you want to enrich that, we welcome that. If you want to destroy that, we don't welcome that. So we just have to put it out that way and just say we do have the science and the evidence now that after years of review of what's been submitted to date, the proponents have not adequately addressed our concerns, and as a result, we have a higher level of anxiety, and what they're submitting in terms of coming back to the table with the environmental assessment process is not satisfactory. We have hundreds of mountain goats up there. I think we're possibly 300 mountain goats up there. It's unbelievable. We have grizzly bears up there. They den up there. They're major residents of the Tolka Range. A wolverine still up there, right? Yeah. So it's great. We have caribou still. We have a dynamic ecosystem that's fish and salmon dependent. So we do have that that vestige of wildlife that's still left that we can still have intact, even though the landscape has been highly fragmented around the Telquas. But we do have something that's there that we can keep into perpetuity.
My name is Tom Roper, and I'm with a group called What Matters in Our Valley, and we're trying to oppose the Telqua coal mine. That's sort of our mission. So what we did is we've been trying to get information to people. And this is one of our routes that we've decided upon to have a party. So, and you know how you like partying.
Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? Yeah. Who said that?
So, yeah. So, that's sort of our idea. And then we came up with the idea of the silent auction. And all the money that we're raising is really to help us get professionals. Because it's very hard when you're asked a question about say a containment pond,
right,
or a different type of pollution or, yep, something. And so we need people that know what they're talking about. We're just emotionally concerned, okay, that our area is going to get, you know, changed. So that's why we've done this. So tonight we're at the Legion,
yep,
and we've got ourselves together on this little party. We've got a few bands playing,
yeah,
and there's a bit of singing going on, and it feels pretty good. I gotta go.
Okay. You get at it.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you. Yes. CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.
And we are back with Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. This is your host, Danny Nesvedarani. Thank you to Pam Hassan and CICK News for that piece. Next up, we have a track from a local band by the name of Sour Dope. This one's titled Water Temple. Once again, you are tuned into Speak Up only on CJSF 90.1 FM. This has been your host for the hour, Danny Nesvedarani. Thank you all so much for tuning in this week. And make sure you stay tuned. We have Democracy Now! Coming up in about 1 minute.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations. Postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.